Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of the Bible, these precious truths. Lord, this chapter is so chock full. Well, as a preacher, you don't know where to start and where to stop. But thank you, Lord, that every single one of these promises, Lord, you've written for us. And I pray, Lord, that we would grab hold of them, draw strength from them this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. You probably came this morning expecting me to finish a series that we've been preaching on Sunday morning on the seven sayings from Calvary. I'm down to the last two. I'm going to cover them in one message. And Lord willing, I'm going to do it tonight. But the Lord sometimes just gets a hold of a preacher's heart and says, you know what, I don't care what's on the schedule. This is what you need to preach. And so this morning I'm going to preach on this. Four things cancer cannot change. Four things cancer cannot change. Let me give a real brief explanation, not for the sake of our people. I think we've tried to keep you updated and you know what's going on. But folks, let me say again to those that make these things possible, for our sermons to be posted on our YouTube channel and also on our website, I mean, there's not a week goes by, and I mean this, no exaggeration, not a week goes by where I don't get a letter or a call or a text or an email from someone, not from here, but are listening into the messages at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and are blessed by them. So whoever and however that's made possible, you know who you are. Thank you for the time that you're putting in. But since we have so many friends across the country, I want to catch them up just briefly. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, you know, I was diagnosed with lymphoma, which is a cancer of the lymph nodes, and I won't go get into all of that. And, if you just Google it, you'll learn all about it. There's only 89 variations of it, so good luck. People want to ask specifics, and I'm like, I don't know. I guess the Lord knows, but we're going through it. And, of course, had my second chemo treatment a week ago Monday, and scheduled a week from tomorrow my third treatment. Well, 6 treatments in all, one every 21 days, and then that'll take us to the middle of January, and then we'll do a PET scan and see what's going on and make decisions based on all of that. But, that's a life changer. That's a game changer, you know. Let me say this about so that everyone can relate to this. You know, every one of us is going to be required by God to face some things we'd rather not face. Every single one of us. You say, well, then why would God do that? God requires this because, folks, listen to me, the trials that we're asked to face are the things that make us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be surprised, the Bible says as Christians, that we have to suffer at times. Did not Christ come and suffer? Well, if he was willing to suffer, why would we think it's some strange thing? I mean this, and I understand the knee-jerk reaction. I'm never going to throw stones at anybody that in that moment when you receive bad news about anything, that maybe one of the thoughts that pop into your head is, well, why me? And you know what I just said a long time ago? I decided whatever the Lord sends my way, I'm not going to say, why me? I'm going to say, well, why not me? Hey, I'd rather have this than have one of my grandkids have it. Come on, I'd rather have this than have one of my children have it. I'd rather have it happen to me than happen to my wife. Come on now. And so I'm not going to go down that road. I'm just going to trust my Heavenly Father. But I know that when he brings these things into our life, folks, it's for a purpose. And God's going to require this because it's these things that help make us into the image of Christ. God requires this because the trials we're asked to face equip us to help those around us. And you know, folks, I think all of us could testify, everything that God's ever asked you to go through, even if you didn't understand it at the time, at some point down the road, you know what? The realization hits you. Now I can help somebody that I wouldn't have been able to help if I hadn't had to go through this. Now, I guess I'm going to ask you these questions. What is your trial? What are you facing? Even though I'm going to entitle the message, Four Things Cancer Cannot Change, most of you in this room are not facing cancer. And the word cancer can be replaced by something else. And the Lord right now told you what it is. You know what it is. It may not be cancer. By the way, can I just do this for my own curiosity's sake? And if you don't want to share any of this information, I'm not requiring anybody to respond. But I was just curious, how many of people in our church have had cancer? Would you stand to your feet so I can just see and know, if you don't mind, those of you that have faced cancer? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Are you looking around, folks? Thank you. You can be seated. How many of you, let's just go real small, real small. How many of you had a mom, dad, watch this, mom, dad, or a spouse, or brother, sister, or children, or grandchildren? Okay, and that's not very far into the family, right? Just going a step up and a couple steps back. So we're talking about your parents, or a spouse, brother, sister, or a children or grandchildren that have had a battle with cancer. Would you stand to your feet? Would you look around at that? Stay up for just a minute. My goodness sakes alive. Now, folks, think about that. Think about that. Hey, you know what? This is not an unusual thing. A lot of people are facing this. You can go ahead and be seated. You know what? Cancer may not be what you've had to face. But you know what? I want you to just take time to retitle the message in your heart and substitute the word cancer for whatever you have to face, because I promise you, everything that I'm going to preach applies to everything that we're going to have to face on this earth. There's some things that cancer has changed. I'm just going to take a moment on this because I don't want to give cancer much time, to be honest with you. You know what I found out? There are some things that cancer's altered and some things that it has touched in my life. Cancer can change your physical health. Mercy sakes alive, yes, that's kind of the immediate impact of it, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, I don't know which angel God put in charge of counting the numbers of the hair on my head, but I'm going to tell you, that's been one busy angel, man. And he's hitting the minus button on the calculator, not the plus button on the calculator. And, you know, my weight and all of the different things that come with chemo and the side effects. Folks, I don't think it's cancer that's going to kill most of us. It's going to be the medications they give you to fight cancer. Or all of the stress of all those hospital bills coming in. I'm not sure it's cancer that's going to get us. But, yeah, hey, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that cancer has not touched my body. I'd be lying. I'm not going to tell you that cancer cannot or does not change your short-term plans. I mean, all of a sudden, when I realized what was happening, you know, my preacher friends laugh when I send them a picture of my calendar. And one of them said, you know, you're the only preacher in America that thinks you can organize cancer. And I said, well, we have to organize, you know. I mean, I got red line weeks and orange line weeks and green line weeks. And, you know, that's Jerry Ross's plan. And but, you know, it helps us to be able to know in our church, I think, to be properly informed. I don't want you wondering from week to week if I'm going to be here, who's going to be here, what's going on. I want you to come in excited about and with that information. But, yeah, my short-term plans. Folks, you know, if I brought my day planner in here and laid it down in front of you and we started in August and go to January, you know what you'd see? You know what? A lot of things that I thought I was going to do and places I was going to go and things I thought I was going to accomplish and places I thought I was going to preach. Guess what? You know what? Cancer touched all of that, changed all of that. You know what? So cancer can change your short-term plans. It can change your daily routine. I mean, you know, it's just all of a sudden, everything that you're used to, all of your normal, all of a sudden is not normal anymore. Cancer can change your thoughts and your emotions. Again, I hope you're just plugging in whatever you're facing, because all of these things are true in the trials that we face. It can change your thoughts and emotions. Yeah, you know what? Brother Paul Chapman was here and came in town. And, of course, his brother Caleb Hall came in town for their grandmother's funeral. And so I knew they were in town. And I texted him and I said, hey, before you leave town, I want the two of you to swing by the house. I want to spend a couple minutes with you. Bring Levi. And so they brought Levi. It was fun to sit with the three brothers and talk, and we had a good time. And Paul said, I want you to answer me a question. And I said, sure. And he said, you know, your post and all the things you're sending out on the prayer chain, you know, he said, you know, it just has a positive tilt to it and a positive spin. And he said, do you always feel like that? I said, well, I'm going to give you an honest answer. 90% of the time, the answer would be yes. And I said, you know what? I've kind of had to learn that if I don't feel like that, listen to it, if I don't feel like that, might be not a good time not to post. You know, I call it going dark. If some of you haven't heard, come on, if you haven't heard from the preacher 4 or 5 days, well, I wonder how he's doing, you know. It's not sometimes, that, for one thing, I don't want to overburden the church, but another thing is, you know, those of you who've gone through things, hey, there's those days where you don't want to talk to anybody. One of our daughters bought me a mug that says on it, I'm only talking to Jesus today. Come on, can I get an amen right there? Have you ever had an I'm only talking to Jesus day? And it doesn't mean that people aren't well-meaning and they're not texting. And sometimes those of you that text, it may be a one-word answer. And you know what? I told Paul said, you know, I think that's so wise. And I said, well, you know, if I can't be a blessing, then why would I take that day? And I want you to just hear this. It's okay sometimes to not be okay. Whatever trial you're going through, not every day is going to be a banner day. Not every day are you going to feel on top. Not every day is the day that you probably ought to be the one trying to encourage other people, you know. Hey, some of those are just, you know, put me away in the room, pull the covers over my head, and let's see how tomorrow goes, amen. That's all right. But look up here. Let me tell you what's not all right. Staying under the covers. Let me tell you what's not all right. Deciding that you're going to let your trial be your identification for the rest of your life. Listen, God didn't call us to be victims. He called us to be victors. But I guess I want you to know, honestly, transparently, as you go through the trials in life, you know what? It messes with your mind sometimes. I mean, it does. Anybody's ever gone through this? I've had those nights where you're laying in bed and you're looking at the ceiling and you're wondering about the future. You're wondering about, is God there? How's this going to end up? How are we going to get through this? You know, whatever you think affects your heart. Mind affects your thought, your heart. So that thought process begins to, you know, heart. Come on, we taught you this. Mind, heart, will. And you know what? It affects your emotions. Then it affects your desire to do things or not do things. And hey, preacher, I whatever you're describing right there, I have been there, got that T-shirt. Hey, we all got that T-shirt. Everybody's got that T-shirt. If you're going to live very long on this earth, then you know what? God's going to ask you to go through some things that you'd rather not face. Cancer may even shorten your life, but I don't want to focus on that anymore. There are 4 things that cancer cannot touch, 4 things cancer cannot alter, 4 things over which cancer has no power, no power. So let's say them out loud this morning. Number 1, cancer cannot change my salvation. We read in Romans chapter 8, and this I'm basically going to keep you in Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now listen, folks, whatever the devil throws at you, whatever you've been asked of the Lord to go through, whatever valley you have to face or trial, the one thing that thing will not and cannot touch is your eternal salvation. You know what? Cancer can't go back and undo what was done at the Rock Run Baptist Church when I was a 5-year-old boy. Cancer cannot go back and undo the fact that I prayed out to God under conviction and Christ saved my soul. You know, it's necessary to be saved. There's a comfort in salvation. John chapter 3, here John is talking, or Jesus is talking to a very religious man. And he said there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Folks, salvation is absolutely essential if we have any hope of living forever eternally with Christ in heaven. There's some things cancer might change, but it cannot undo what God did the day he saved my soul. It can't wash away the blood that washed away my sins. It can't erase my name from the Lamb's Book of Life. Cancer can't evict the Comforter, that third person of the Trinity that resides in this old clay temporary temple. Cancer cannot reverse my regeneration, cannot undo my rebirth. Cancer cannot unchange the great change that happened when I was born again. Cancer cannot go deep enough to undig what God buried in the deepest sea. Cancer cannot go east enough to find my sin or west enough to find my sins. Cancer cannot unjustify what God has justified. It cannot unforgive what God forgave. It cannot unsanctify what God has declared to be clean. And it cannot bring accusation that can stand up before my intercessor. I hope that you're securing your salvation this morning. Cancer can't cancel my spiritual adoption. It cannot take me out of God's family. It can't steal from me my inheritance. Hey, cancer, listen up. You cannot stop God from being my Father. You cannot stop Jesus from being my brother. You cannot stop the Holy Spirit from being my comforter. Cancer can't pry apart the hands of my Heavenly Father and steal me from Him. Cancer can't pry apart the hands of my Savior that holds me. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands." I guess here's the first question this morning I want to pose. Watch this. Are you saved? Have you been born again? Because I'll tell you this. You're going to have to go through trials and testings anyway. It's a lot better to go through it as a child of God than it is an old lost sinner. I often ask people, if you put God in the middle of something, is it going to get better or worse? If you take God out of the middle of something, is it going to be better or worse? Well, I don't know what you're going to have to face, but I can tell you this, it's a lot better facing it as a child of God. If you're saved, by the way, if you are saved, remember this, there's nothing the devil can throw at you that's going to change your standing with God when it comes to this matter of salvation. I can say that without exception. What are you facing? Cancer? Sickness? Brother Tom, a stroke? Thank you, by the way, for being so faithful to God. And I love these men and women scattered all over our church that has had to walk through deep valleys and deep waters. But you know what? You saw their faithfulness and their consistency. And you know what, folks? Listen to me. A stroke isn't going to take away anyone's salvation. Brother Don Davis, Parkinson's disease cannot change the fact that you're born again. I watch him and Miss Debbie come in, and I mean this, every single Sunday I watch him come in, and then I watch him get back to the car. I'm just humbled. I mean this. Young people, I hope you're paying attention. I hope you're paying attention, because you know what? These folks have had to face something. Brother John Reiser, and sometimes he can be here and sometimes he can't. But you know what? If you just watch him get out of the car and get into his pew, and you know, I always ask him about every other Sunday, "What have you been drinking? All right, where were you last night? You're under the influence of something, son," because he walks more this way and that way than he does this way. Now, he'll eventually get this way, but, you know, and he's got people around him trying to hold him up and all this. But you know what? I'll look out to be preaching, and he'll have his hand up waving. Come on. I'll look out there to be preaching, and you know what? He'll be amening me. Listen, folks, you know why? Because, yeah, there's things that can touch our body, but there's nothing that can take away our salvation. And so, you know what? Four things cancer cannot change. You know what? One of them is the fact that I've been born again. If you're saved, I want you to remember this. There's nothing the devil can throw at you that's going to change your standing with God. Cancer, sickness, stroke, Parkinson's disease. Listen, a broken heart, a wayward child, a failed marriage, financial ruin, an untrue friend, the funeral of a spouse, the death of a dear loved one, the death of some dream, something you thought was going to happen and it crashed and burned. All of these things may touch you and change you, but none of these things can touch or change your eternal standing with God. So number one, cancer cannot change my salvation. Number two, look at Romans 8, verse 35. Cancer cannot change God's love for me. Oh, I want to take a minute and try to convince you of this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, "For thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Nay, in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, when you're asked to walk through some deep valleys, and again, all of us have and are. Some of you are in the middle of one. Some of you could look back and say, preacher, if I was transparent enough and felt comfortable enough, I could tell you 3, 4, 5 times in my life where I just felt like that, you know, I had to walk through one of those dark valleys. Deep waters, come on, dark valleys, deep waters. You know what? Aren't you glad the Lord has promised to be with us? Psalms 23, come on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Come on, give me the reason. Why, church? Why, church? For thou art with me. Think about that. But I want to say this. Even though I know the Lord's with me in those dark valleys, in those deep waters, in my experience, I believe the Lord is not the only one who finds us in those dark valleys. Come on. Thank God he's there, but he's not the only one that finds us in those dark valleys. I think the devil follows every Christian into the darkness as well. And you know what? One of the things he'll begin to whisper into our ears is this. Hey, wait a minute. If God really loved you, come on, have you ever had that thought? Hey, let me ask you this. Are you thinking it or are you hearing it? That's a good question to stop and ask yourself sometime. Am I thinking this or I'm, you know what popped into my mind? Isn't it interesting we use that phrase, popped into my mind? Are you thinking this or are you hearing this? I think the devil and his demonic army follows Christians into dark valleys. And he knows that it's the thing that we're facing is touching our mind and it's touching our emotions and it's touching our will. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to try to make hay. He's going to try to get on you, come on, and take this opportunity to try to destroy your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil follows us into the darkness as well. One of the things he begins to whisper, if God really loves you, then why would he let this happen to you? If God really cared, then why do you feel so alone? If God really watches over you, where is he now? Say, preacher, you're saying these things out loud. We better say them out loud. Better understand that we're not alone in this. We better understand that this is part of those valleys. You know, Job felt this way. Brother Matt read these verses. I loved it. Wednesday night, by the Wednesday night message. If you weren't here, you need to get online and listen to that message. Here, Job was the greatest Christian on the planet at the time. And you know what? Greatest Christian on the planet. And you know what? He felt this way. Job 23, then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew. Listen to what he says. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seed. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. For the righteous might dispute with me, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, think about what Job said. Listen, this isn't a backslider. This isn't a carnal Christian. This isn't somebody out of the will of God. This isn't someone that's done some great evil that God's had pronounced judgment on. And yet here's what we hear him say. Behold, I go forward, and he's not there, and backwards, and I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. And you know what? It was like Job was saying, at the point I needed him the most. Where are you, God? Why can't I see you? Why can't I find you? Now think about that. Aren't you glad that that portion of Scripture doesn't end there? Verse 10, Job says this, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Think about this. One of the benefits of being a part of Operation Occupation or any soul winning program, as much as possible, and I know it's not always possible, but you know, I think the Bible example is to go 2 by 2, and I think that that's for encouragement as much as this for anything else. And also, if you're not a part of that or some kind of soul winning ministry, let me tell you one of the things that you're missing, because it's not just the opportunity to share the gospel every single week. But it's also an opportunity to enjoy the fellowship of having a soul-winning partner. And when we first started this, Brother Ron was my partner for a couple of years. And then, you know what? In those years, you know what? We got to know each other. We had time to talk. And the more trust he felt in his pastor, the more he began to unpackage some of the things in his life and some of the things he's had to go through. And you know what? Did it surprise you, shock you? No. Because I promise you, every single one of us can tell some stories. And it just seemed like, in many ways, there was sometimes what we might call some exceptional things that the Lord had asked him to go through. And then I switch over to Brother Joseph Yoder, and we begin to fellowship and have that time. And for a year, he was my soul winning partner, and I really got to know him and his background and his story. And man, I had 1,000 questions, you know. First of all, the first one was, why in the world would Mary marry someone so ugly? That was my first question I asked him, and I don't know if I've really ever got the answer to that, but to begin to, again, folks, listen to me. You know, the more people trust you, the more they feel like that they can share with you some things that's in their life. And you know, everyone has a story. Come on. Every life has times of heartache and times of testing. And Brother Ron told me that in one of those dark valleys, he discovered, was given, I don't know, he'd have to tell you, I don't remember, but somewhere, somehow, he got that little, you know, poem or writing called Footsteps or Footprints in the Sand. And I know sometimes, you know what, you say, preacher, I know it, and I've read it, and I'm over familiar with it. Well, why don't you read it again when you're in one of those valleys? One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Scenes from my life flashed across the sky, and each I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints, other times there were only one. During the lowest times of my life, I could see only one set of footprints. So I said, Lord, you promised me that you'd walk with me always. Why, when I have needed you the most, would you leave me? The Lord replied, my precious child, I love you and would never leave you. The times when you have seen only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. And folks, listen to me. I promise you, even though you may not see him, and maybe sometimes you cannot find him, he knoweth the way that you must go. And you know what? When you're tried, you'll come forth as gold. I preached recently to a large gathering of young people up in Hammond at their 50th anniversary youth conference. And Brother Wilkerson wanted to go back and get guys from kind of every 10-year generation of Hiles Anderson graduates and bring them in, those of us that have been preaching to teens for a while. So me and Reno Likens, I guess, were the old codgers, you know. I said, man, they're desperate enough to bring us back. Lord help us. And Brother Reno, by the way, interesting, we preached together, and it wasn't but a couple weeks after that that he had a stroke. And Brother Reno Likens, I mean, come on. And all of a sudden, he's been sidelined for a while and making slow progress. But in rehab and trying to get back up. And so I text him as encouragement. And then, of course, my diagnosis. And I text him one day and I said, man, I got cancer and you had a stroke. We worked with young people too long. This was bound to happen. Bound to happen. You hang around teenagers for too many years and you don't know, but amongst the teen guys that do a lot of preaching in camps and conferences, they always say, Ross and Reno, man, those two have done teen stuff more longer than any of us. I'd add Terry Angel to that. And I wanted to tell him, yeah, look at us now, you know. So we were joking back and forth. Then all of a sudden, when we were done joking, he said, Brother Jerry, he said, but the truth is, we'd do it all again, wouldn't we? And I said, we sure would. We sure would. Come on. Come on. You know what, folks, listen to me. I preached up to those teens, and I preached a message, and the end of that message, and I meant it with all my heart. And I think I shared the heart with it. I know most of the guys were on the platform, preached with most of the guys who were there, and I turned around and looked at the speakers, and I said, I think in one thing we share a heart. Please listen, young people, what I'm going to say. I think one of the devil's most dangerous ploys and most wicked lies. And I think a lot of times what causes a young person to drift out of the will of God is the fact that the devil gets them to the point where he's convinced them that God no longer loves them. And I looked at the young people and I said, God knows my heart and there's no way I can do this. Here we have probably 2,000 plus teens in that auditorium. And I said this to every one of them. I said to all of you, I said, I wish I could just cancel out the next 3 weeks. I wish I could start at 6 o'clock in the morning and go to 10 o'clock at night. I wish me and my wife could just find some room off to the side somewhere and that every one of you, one at a time, I could have 15, 20 minutes just to sit in front of you with an open Bible and try to convince you how much God loves you. How much? No, I didn't say love somebody else in the church. No, I didn't say love some other teenager. I didn't say love some other family. I'm talking about he loves you. He loves you. And I think once that grips a man's heart, you know what? That can take us through almost any valley God's asked us to go through. Folks, listen to me. I want you to get this in your heart. As much as I felt that day, sitting in the pulpit in front of a couple thousand teenagers, I feel it just as strongly this morning. I wish I could take 15, 20 minutes with everybody that's in this church. And I wish I could just get you in a room. And I wish me and my wife could sit together and open the Bible and just go through the verses with you and not let you leave till you are convinced by God's word how much God loves you. And you know what? I don't know what you have to face. But I can promise you this. Cancer can't touch that. It can't affect how much God loves me. Can't do it. Can't change it. Who shall separate us from the love of God? When the devil tells you God does not love you, you open your King James Holy Bible to Romans chapter 8. And listen, read the words out loud. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? I mean, speak him right into the face of that old liar. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What are the things that cancer can't touch? It can't touch my salvation. It can't touch how much God loves me. Let me go to number three. Cancer cannot change God's precious promises to me. Cannot change God's precious promises to me. I just decided that I wouldn't even go try to look through all the Bible because, my goodness sakes, how many promises are there? I thought, well, I'm just going to go back into the chapter that I'm going to preach out of and just see if I can find a few promises. How about this? The promise of the eventual good. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I mean, folks, that's a promise from the Lord. And you know what? Cancer hasn't changed a word of it or the truth of it. I want to challenge every single one of us. Listen, pulpit and pew. You know what? We shouldn't say that we believe things for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and then when it comes our turn, all of a sudden turn our back on all the things we've always said we believe. And you know what? The promises are still there. It doesn't say that all things are good. It says that all things will work together for good. You know what? Aren't you glad that the Lord can take what the devil intended for evil, and he can just reshape that and rework it in such a way to bring himself glory out of it? Woo! How about the promise of an interceding friend? Look at verse 33 and 34. The Bible says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who are we talking about? Jesus Christ. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Folks, listen to me. I've got a promise that whatever I'm going through, eventually God's going to take it and work it to some good. And I got a promise that I have my Savior sitting on the right hand of the Father right now making intercession for me. And that's just not a Jerry Ross promise. That's a promise for every single one of you. And you know what? It was there before cancer. It's still there after cancer. How about that? How about the promise of the indwelling comforter? Look at verse number 26. Folks, listen, I could pull probably 15, 20 promises out of one chapter here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our what? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? And that's such a broad term. You know what? It's inclusive of anything and everything that you're facing. And you know what? Aren't you glad that the Spirit also just comes in and helps us during those times where we need help? Help, Lord! Help, Lord. That's a good prayer. Help, Lord. And you know what? God hears that prayer. Every promise. Come on. I want you to understand something. I don't know what you're going through, but it hasn't changed one word of this book. How about that little chorus? Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the blessings of his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Sing it with me. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the blessings of his love divine. Every promise in the book You're sounding good. We got to do it one more time. Every promise in the book. Come on, lift up your voices. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the blessings of His love divine. Every promise in the book. Every promise in the book. Every promise in the book is mine. You know what? Cancer cannot uninspire this book. Cancer cannot unpreserve this book. Cancer cannot change a jot or alter a tittle in my King James Holy Bible. Cancer cannot unpromise any of its promises, cannot untruth any of its truth of these words, cannot stifle its statutes, cannot temper its testimonies, cannot uncommand any of its commandments. Cancer cannot extinguish what has always been a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Cancer cannot unquicken that which is alive, cannot diminish that which is powerful, and cannot dull that which is sharper than any two-edged sword. Brother Esselm is saying, God bless you. God bless you so much. Woo. Folks, there's examples all around you. There's examples all around you. I know that you and Miss Anna have gone through a lot. And folks, listen to me. We all try to relate. The honest truth is nobody knows until you've done it. Nobody knows how much suffering she's gone through and the toll that it's taken on a caring, loving husband. Brother Estelle, thank you for being an example of that. And you know what? We can't always change the circumstances of our life. But aren't you glad that every morning he's doing it in Clay City and I'm doing it in Jasonville. We can get up in the morning and we can reach over and open our Bible. And not one thing has changed because our circumstance has changed. Woo! Think about that. Appreciate the Dively's. They've been so faithful, gone through so much. Sister Carol, I don't know how you've carried all that you've carried, but I want you to know that I pray for you and I pray for your family. And you've never heard a complaint come out of her lips. You just haven't. Let me tell you something. If you're going to get through what you're going through, you better be connected to this thing right here. And preacher, I don't even feel like reading the Bible. That's when you need to read the Bible. Okay, this book, listen to me, this book is not going to change because my circumstance has changed. Think about that. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Before I was diagnosed with cancer, do you know what Psalms 27:1 said? Before I was diagnosed with cancer, Psalms 27:1 said, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And so then I got the diagnosis and I went home and I thought, I wonder if it's changed. I wonder if it got any of the words changed. And what I turned and I read Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hasn't changed. Hasn't changed a word of it. Psalms 34, better run over and check it. I wonder if it still says what it did before. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I think I'll go check Psalms 40. Maybe something's changed. Now, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined unto me, heard my cry, brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, established my goings, put a new song in my mouth, even praising to our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Well, I don't know what you're going through, but you know what? There's some things that no trial or testing or trouble can change, and one of those is this. It will not change the promises that's found in this book. I thought to myself, wonder if Psalms 46 still says what it did. God is our refuge of strength and strength, a very present help in trouble. Wonder if Psalms 91 has changed. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. Not one word, not one punctuation mark. Nothing's changed. Nothing changed. Unless you pick up the wrong kind of Bible, nothing's changed. How about Psalms 118? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. You know, that was there before I had cancer. You know what? It's just as real and just as right after the diagnosis. For he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress, And the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. I wonder if Psalms 121, I wonder if it's altered because of this diagnosis. I read it. It's not changed. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Folks, listen to me. Get a hold of this book. Get a hold of this book. Squeeze it hard. Chase around its promises. Claim it as your own. Because you don't know what, no matter what you're going through, it has not changed the promises of this book. Real quickly, number four, cancer cannot change my eternal destination. Romans 8, if you're still there, look at verse 17 and 18. And if children, then heirs. Hallelujah. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, then we shall also, that we may be also what? Glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, I mean, folks, they're not even going to be worthy to be mentioned once we get on the other side, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Preacher, I'm going through a tough time, going through a dark valley. I've got a dear loved one or friend going through a dark valley. Listen to me. I want you to hear red letter words. Listen to Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Cancer cannot change my eternal destination. Think about this. I wrote these things down. I'm going to read them. Cancer cannot unbuild my mansion. Cancer cannot unpave the streets of gold. Cancer cannot pollute the river of life, cannot chainsaw the tree of life, cannot steal a second from the eternal life that awaits me. Cancer cannot jackhammer away heaven's 12 foundational stones. It cannot unhinge nor close heaven's 12 pearly gates, cannot bulldoze down heaven's jasper walls. Cancer cannot dim the sun or the moon above that holy city. You know why? Because there is no sun and moon. Preacher, how do you know this? Because Brother John was taken there. And he saw it in the revelation, and he wondered at it, and he wrote about it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Well, look right up here. Let's wrap this up. There's some things we're going to have to face. Yours is going to be different than mine. Mine's going to be different than yours, all right? They're just part of being on this sin-cursed earth. I mean, folks, if we could hear with spiritual ears, the earth itself is groaning, groaning for the day of redemption, groaning over what sin has done. Now think about this. I want you to think, but if you're saved, none of these things can change your eternal destination. Well, preacher, what's this message all about? Look right here. Hang in there. Hang in there. Don't lose faith. Come on. Don't forget we're pilgrims. Okay, this life is a vapor. You know, you can't convince anybody under 35 of that fact, that life's a vapor. And you don't have to convince anybody over 35. They've already figured it out. Amen. It's just a vapor. This is temporary. And there's a place waiting. And let me read you just a little bit about this place, a couple verses. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Preacher, come on, just be transparent and be honest with us. Has cancer changed some things? Yep, it has. Yep. But I'm going to tell you this, there's some things it can't touch. It's some things that can't change, and these are the most important things. Cancer can't change my salvation. It can't change the love that God has for me. It can't change the promises in this book. And it can't change my eternal destiny. Now, whatever your word is, Let me take my word cancer out and you plug it in, and I want you to walk away from here this morning with a firm assurance. Amen. First of all, that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because that is the most important thing. I want you to walk away with a firm assurance that God loves you. God loves you, and He hasn't gone anywhere. Matter of fact, He's a very present help in time of trouble. I want you to leave this place and pick up this book again. The devil's kind of discouraged you. You're not reading it the way you should. You're not latching on to it. Don't let the devil win that game. Listen, you need this book more when you're going through the valleys than you need any other time. And then you remember this. No matter what we have to face, folks, come on. Life is a vapor, appears for a short time, vanisheth away. You know, we'll have all of eternity later on to look back and realize how small the things really were that we were convinced was so big. And maybe we'll have to look back and regret, think about how, you know, big the things we allowed to become big in our life that really was so small. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, the most important thing, most important invitation I can give, the most important thing I can offer as a preacher is this. Listen to me. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And if you don't, you can take care of that today. Has the devil lied to you? Come on. Hey, I've been there. Man, he can get us so beat down. Has he tried to convince you somehow that God doesn't love you and that Jesus didn't die for you? And No, that's not true. Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Jesus Christ wants to save you. Do you feel conviction this morning? We ought to, because we're all sinners. Do you feel that drawing of the Father? Something inside of you that says you need to take care of this thing of salvation. You need to do it now. Do you understand how much Jesus loved you and that He proved it by dying on Calvary's cross? Do you realize salvation is a whosoever invitation? It's for you, it's for me, it's for everybody. Church, I don't even know for sure I'm saved. And you know what? In just a moment, we'll have the piano player play. Come on up here. Brother Brian's standing up here. If you're a lady, we'll get a lady to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. You're a man, we'll get a man. But we just want to show you. We just want to explain it to you. And then it has to be your decision what you do with it. Listen to me. God loves you. And God cares about you. Come on, Christians. Those of you that are going through some tough times, hang in there. Preacher, I don't know. I'm dreading this next week. I don't know how I'm going to get through tomorrow, let alone next. Okay, all right. Listen to me. He's there for you. God loves you. He's close by. Listen to me. Reach out to Him. Don't lose faith. Don't lose heart. He's with you. He loves you. Lean on Him. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You'd take this time of invitation and minister to each and every one of us according to Your will. Allow us, dear God, to let You have Your way in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name.